morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you on this Monday, May 11th. Hi, I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Oh, indeed, it's a good morning. And I can't think of any better way to start than listening to this morning. Yes, nothing better than kids, right? Kids saying the Pledge of Allegiance, putting our mind right where it needs to be, starting off on this Monday. So glad to have you along, my friend. We've got a great show planned for you today as we continue on in the effort to educate, empower, and engage you, our listeners. Together, we are better in deciding who our next elected leaders will be. And, you know, the thing that's so interesting to me is I think we get so busy in our day-to-day life. We just get busy doing what we know we need to do. Parenting, doing our jobs, you know, making sure that the dog's fed and all that before we leave on a normal day, right? Now we're kind of at home, but our days are so busy, our time gets away from us, and sometimes it's hard to know when it comes to an election cycle who to vote for, how to vote, what are the issues, how do we get to know the candidates. Then add on top of that, we have COVID-19, where usually candidates are able to get door to door, ask you to have a sign. They have forums and coffees and lectures and things that we can tune into to find out where they line up on the issues. One of the very good resources that we have right here in Oregon is voter guides. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at any of them, but they're very good resources to know where the candidates line up. And years ago, I ran for a Senate seat in South Dakota, and I was sent tons of brochures and postcards and information to please tell us how you feel on these issues, either from the life issue to gun control to taxes and all of those things. Now, as a candidate, you have a choice. You can fill them out and send them back, or you cannot. And if you fill them out, you better make sure that you fill them out. If you have a voting record, that they line up with your voting record. And that's what I love about these surveys and these voter guides. And one of my best tools have been for many years is the Right to Life. National Right to Life, local Right to Life, state Right to Life have a voter guide. And what's been a valuable, excuse me, resource for me today, right here in the last few weeks, in our Oregon campaigns, is looking at the Oregon Voter Guide from the Right to Life. And in the studio with me today, and you have to excuse a little frog that's joined us in my throat, but in the studio today is my new friend, Lois Anderson, and she is with the Oregon Right to Life. And Lois, we welcome you to the show today. Thank you for being here.
Good morning, Stacy Ann. I'm happy to be here.
Well, it's so amazing. You know, when I was looking at bringing candidates on and looking through the different resources that are in the state, it took me a little bit to figure out how to, you know, because we're all shut down and you can't go to these rallies and things. I found your voter guide and it was very, very helpful. Talk to me a little bit. First of all, let's start with Oregon Right to Life, who you are, how long you've been in the state, and kind of what your mission is.
Well, actually, this is our 50th year. Oregon Right to Life was started very literally around a kitchen table by four farming families who were very upset that the Oregon legislature had legalized abortion in 1969. Mm-hmm. And so it was 3x5 cards and a card file and around the kitchen table and calling people that they knew. And it's truly a grassroots movement, mm-hmm. grassroots organization. And our mission is to advocate for innocent human life, and not only in the womb, but also throughout life. life and into the end of life. As you know, we have legalized assisted suicide here in Oregon. And so the people with disabilities and terminal illnesses or just even being chronically ill is also an area where we're involved.
What I love about your mission is from conception to natural death.
Yes.
Protecting life, the most vulnerable life. And, you know, the thing that's really impacted me in the last 3 months here in Oregon, we moved here in January. I had an opportunity to participate in your amazing rally that you had at the Capitol. Great turnout, by the way, and great message of staying together and standing strong. But what I think is so important for people to remember that life is precious. And I think there's like almost a revolution going on right now around COVID-19. Mm-hmm. There's a realization that we have an impact in life and we impact those around us. And that we, you know, this uncertain time of not knowing, do we carry it? Don't we carry it? Those kinds of things helps us look at humanity a little bit better. If there's something that could come out of COVID-19 that makes us more aware of one another and aware of the value human life has. That said, what's disappointing is that while we have essential and non-essential, and certainly a lot of procedures, even dental procedures and eye procedures and things that should be going on for people's health, they have stopped because they weren't considered essential. And yet, in many states, access to abortion is still happening. Talk to me a little bit about what's going on here in Oregon during the COVID-19 shutdown around abortion.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, one of the things my predecessor used to say that many times Oregon is sort of the tip of the spear when it comes to, and I do use this term on purpose, pro-abortion movement, not only in Oregon, but nationally. So our attorney general is currently, I think she's actually the chairman of the Democrat attorneys general for the country. And she actually made a statement. They issued a letter about how essential abortion is and that abortion facilities need to stay open. And we did join together our pro-life legislators who sent a very strongly worded letter to the governor to express that abortion was not essential. And while it may seem a little bit like spinning in the wind to send a letter to the governor, I still think it's important to make those public statements.
Yes.
And we're just so thankful for our leaders who are pro-life and who are willing to stand up and make those kinds of statements. And unfortunately, abortion facilities have remained open during COVID-19. And in some other states, they've been closed temporarily and then reopened depending on the status of the state. The other thing we have been concerned about, which thankfully has not come to fruition, was the rationing of healthcare based on, we were concerned about it being based on health status or age or disability. And that surge, that need to actually triage care for COVID-19, people that have become sick with it hasn't come to fruition. So that's something to be grateful for. But we had been watching that and had prepared some information for our public officials about that.
Well, that's good to hear that that has not happened. It's been concerning that many of these deaths have been in nursing homes and senior living facilities and things like that, and protecting our most vulnerable and our elderly is extremely important. I remember sitting on a committee. I went to college in South Dakota, and I sat on a committee about euthanasia. And when this was in the 90s, when this was all, starting to talk about it, and they always use such beautiful terms like, right to die and, dignified death and things like that. And it's a troubling thing to me. And I remember sitting with Dr. Rice, who came from Notre Dame, to we brought him in to talk about this, and that same spirit of, with abortion about, you know, well, it's not the right time and it's, you know, it's not convenient and it's in the best interest of the mother. It's interesting how that same verbiage and message is translated over to the elderly.
Mm-hmm.
And he warned and said, we need to be prepared for this wave that's coming. And this was in South Dakota, not in Oregon, unfortunately. And so in what year did the euthanasia law pass here in Oregon? It's been a while now.
It passed the 20-year mark last mm-hmm. year. We were very involved in challenging it. It
yes.
went all the way to the Supreme Court, which they did not end up taking the case. But mm-hmm. Oregon Right to Life really led in the fight against it, and we continue to.
Mm-hmm.
There are other organizations of physicians who are active in helping the medical community to understand the important principles of caring for people.
Right.
And death is a natural part of life.
Right.
You know, and this isn't about preventing natural death in that natural
right.
course, but it's respecting everyone to mm-hmm. in their life, whether or not they're ill, whether or not they're disabled, whether or not they're starting to their life-ending process, which we all go through. But I think that the energy in the movement mm-hmm. is still maintaining even in this COVID-19 crisis that we've been in.
Yes.
And it's just so encouraging to see younger people getting involved and continuing to, you know, go online and have discussions and still advocating. And I think it's important for us to remember that with so many people not working
right.
or at home, that we need to be really aware in all of our different channels that we have
mm-hmm.
Of what's going on with people. Are there unintended pregnancies?
Right.
Are there some things going on in people's lives that I really think it's important for us to be approachable so that if we're pro-life and are valuing life, that we're the one that somebody would turn to for help.
And making it safe. And I'm,
yes.
I'm a huge advocate of making your, and we've talked about that even in the COVID-19 social distancing and being safe, but also being that receiver, being that person approachable, that you're a safe person to share those intimate secrets with. And there's nothing more of a privilege. Things that I've had an opportunity to walk women through and men through who've lost children to abortion. I think when you have had an event of an abortion in your life, because of where we are in our culture, even though one side's like, it's your choice and whatever, there's still condemnation from that group and from, in a sense, they feel like there's condemnation everywhere. Once, and that's how the enemy of our soul works. He tricks you into thinking this is the best option, and then after you make that choice, whatever it is in life, what I call sin, then there's the condemnation that comes with that. And there's freedom, there's healing,
mm-hmm.
and we need to be people that say, hey, this happened in your life, but there's healing, and let me show you how. And that's what I love about the pro-life leaders that I've met, is that not only do they want to help protect, but they want to lead people to healing so they could be freed up of the trouble that they've it's almost a harassment that these folks that I've known have walked through. And so standing up, making it a safe place, that's really what it's all about. We're visiting with Lois Anderson, Oregon Right to Life. You're listening to KSLM Reliable News Talk Radio. When we get back, we'll talk more. I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Follow us on Facebook at KSLM Radio or online listen streaming at KSLM.news. Here to encourage, educate, and engage you with news you can use. And we're with Lois Anderson from Oregon Right to Life here in the studio. We're talking all things right to life. And we've been really celebrating this year, 50 years of protecting life. I guess I didn't understand that the legislature way back in 1969, even before it was a national law here in Oregon, approved abortion in this state. And it's been an ongoing battle, in a sense, to protect life. And it's interesting in my history and standing and testifying, I've testified several different areas and been deposed in cases and things to protect life. And I've talked about how abortion is very detrimental to a woman. And I think that in my involvement of the last 30 years in this issue and trying to educate, and there's just some people that just are so, they think it's in the woman's best interest that they have the opportunity to have an abortion, that they have access to abortion. And the difficulty for me is in that discussion, Lois, is that the reality is, whether that woman that I'm directly talking to or not, it's not always revealed if they've experienced abortion. The reality is, when you take a mom who everything in her, as we just celebrated Mother's Day yesterday, happy Mother's Day, by the way.
Thank you.
But you take a mom who everything in her is designed to protect this child, and she has to make a decision to destroy it. There's no winning in any of that. Mm-hmm. There is no winning in any of that. And the reality is, at conception, there's a whole unique, separate, living human being. And now that mother is responsible for that. And that mother has a right to a relationship with that child. In fact, when a mother places a child for adoption, and I'm an adopted mother, my last child was adopted. Mm. And when her mom terminated her rights to adopt out her daughter, Bree, she had a process to go through. She had an educated process in that process to release her child for an adoption. Mm-hmm. And every mother who's looking at terminating the life of her child, I believe, needs to have informed consent, mm-hmm. needs to have a right to have all of the information, and she needs to know she has a right to relationship with that child. And by terminating that life of her child, she knows she's terminating that right to relationship. And I think about the harm, and I think about the legacy, and I think about all the rippling effects that happen. And I've heard the stories. It's true. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm talking, I'll go circle back around to that woman who's like, oh, woman's right to choose, and don't take that away, and my body, my choice. What about the baby? And what about the future of that woman? Are you really, in the long-term big picture, really helping her? Or how about another idea? Let's give her informed choice. Let's give her all of the tools and say, hey, we'll come beside you. We have help. We have resources like a pregnancy center. We have education. There's help out there. You know, where you are in Oregon Right to Life, you're positioned in a beautiful place, because not only are you helping individuals, you're empowering the whole state and communities on how to stand for life. Talk to me about the kinds of things you're doing. Tell me about what you're doing at Oregon Right to Life.
Well, obviously we have, our core is advocacy, and that includes, the political advocacy, what we do in supporting candidates that to elect to office, and then the advocacy that we do in lobbying at the Capitol. Our main focus is at the state Capitol, but we also have efforts even at the school board level and the county commission, because believe it or not, there are people talk about the life issue. Well, I mean, the life issue is very expansive, mm-hmm. and there's lots of ways that we can influence the policies related to abortions. And so I think that's what people generally think of. But there's another part of that, and that is educating, and that is giving people from all ages information about what happens during an abortion. Mm-hmm. So many people do not, they've looked the other way, or they just don't know. And what does happen when fertilization happens, and that growth, that that growth of a child? And like you said, every time that happens, there's a unique human being mm-hmm. with unique DNA, and we all started there.
Right,
we were all an embryo once. We were all a fetus once. And that's the natural way that humans grow and reproduce and grow.
And the reality is, Lois, when that baby is conceived, everything's there.
Right.
Everything's there. So the difference between that child conceived in the womb and you and I is time.
Right. Right.
It's time. We're just a little bit older, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So that's such a key biological
yes.
thing. It's not a mystery. It's not a clump of tissue, right?
And I think, exactly. And I think what we find, as you were speaking, I was thinking about just the abortion providers. They draw the curtain. They're not opening up the curtain mm-hmm. to give you all the information. They're drawing the curtain, because the more information that a woman and her family have,
right.
The more evidence there is of that being the truth of being a living, growing child who will become a unique individual human being growing out in the world. But they put a veil over that. They use euphemisms, and they're actually really not trusting women. This one of their mantras is, "Well, trust women." I believe we should trust women.
Yes.
So we should trust women with information, and information about not only what is happening to their child who's growing and developing, but also to them, to their own health and to their own bodies. And while Oregon Right to Life isn't on the front lines like a pregnancy center, we do all that we can to support their
yes.
to support their efforts. Oregon was the first place that saw legislation that targeted pregnancy centers for regulation and
yes.
shutdown. And we dug right in with our partners at the pregnancy centers to educate legislators and to stop that legislation. And it's taken on different character in other states, but we saw that here first, and were able to fight it back. It was very important.
It's so good for the pregnancy centers to have a friend in the Right to Life to advocate at the legislative level, both in the state and nationally. We're going to get into that when we come back from this break. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on Monday and every day. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you, wherever you are this morning. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Stacey Ann, Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. And we're celebrating life today, talking about the importance of life. You value, my friends, and so do your children and your children's children. And it's a legacy that goes on and on and on. And it's interesting. When we think about our constitutional rights and the things that are supposed to be protecting us as U.S. citizens and the things that run our day-to-day lives, it's interesting when each candidate takes an oath of office, they're swearing to protect our individual, the most vulnerable, our rights. And according to not only our Constitution, but in our case here in Oregon, the Oregon Constitution. And so, again, elections have consequences, and it's very important that when we evaluate our candidates that we're voting for, we find out where they are on these issues, where they line up, what are their thoughts, you know, are they for life, are they for our Second Amendment rights, are they for free speech and assembly, the right to worship, not freedom from religion, but freedom of religion. These things are of value to me. What are your values? And so what I challenge you to do is to listen to get educated on the facts of each of the candidates and then make your choice. And I think if we voted for those that lined up with our values, we'd be in a whole different place. Lois Anderson is here with Right Oregon Right to Life, and Oregon Right to Life has come up with a voter's guide. And Lois, when I looked through the voter's guide, I was just really impressed with the work. I know I haven't been on task force and things. I know it takes time, and to it's almost like chasing rabbits in a sense to get everybody to fill out the information and do the research and to put this together. Thank you, first of all, for putting the guide together. How can people find the guide? How can they request it from you? What's the first thing they need to do?
Well, they can find it on our website. Mm-hmm. If they go to just ortl.org, or if they Google Oregon Right to Life PAC or Oregon Right to Life, they can find it online. Also, we do print a newsletter called Life in Oregon, which I encourage everybody to sign up for. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful resource, and you can do that by emailing us or calling our office, or giving the quickest way to do it is to send us a $5 check and become a member. Mm-hmm. Or you can do that online as well. But our voter guide, and I'm glad that you mentioned the work, because we have a wonderful committee that works very hard. We start over a year before election mm-hmm. day. So we're starting to talk to candidates 1 year out in August and September, mm-hmm. the year before an election. We have an extensive questionnaire that each candidate that is on our voter guide has completed. And then for most of these, the vast majority of these, we have done either an in-person interview or a Zoom interview. We had some marathon, Google Hangout. We had some marathon sessions, which can, as anybody who has been doing one virtual meeting after another can relate to. But it is a lot of work. We take it very seriously. Someone who's listed on our voter guide, we have vetted them. Mm-hmm. We have researched their background. We have spoken with them because we know that when we send this out, the people count on us to give them good information. And so we do work very hard to make sure that that's the case.
Well, it's evident in the fruit of your labor. Let's get into a little bit here about the candidates. So we've got, let's start from maybe the top. Let's go for president. Who are you? Is the most likely to, I know it sounds funny, but who's the most likely to stand for life?
Well, we have endorsed President Trump. He has been such an amazing pro-life president. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think if you looked at any candidate's background as we were leading up to that election 4 years ago, you wouldn't have anticipated that he would be the one. But he, I just can't express. It's not just at the surface level. It's not just his speaking, giving speeches. It's really down into the weeds of policy.
Yes.
And he has hired and appointed wonderful pro-life people who are competent, who mm-hmm. are knowledgeable, and they are just doing some very amazing life-saving work.
Yes.
So based on his record,
yes.
we have endorsed him for re-election. And I think in particular in the Willamette Valley, I think our county commission races are really important.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get to those in a second. But Kim Thatcher is running for Secretary of State.
Yes.
And she doesn't have a primary opponent. I mean, she might have one that's listed on the ballot. I'm not sure. But she's the one that's running the race. And that is an extremely important position. It is absolutely critical. And so, yes, please mark your ballot for Kim in the primary. But even more important, she is
mm-hmm.
one, that race is one that is well worth your time to get involved
mm-hmm.
over the summer. We have the census is happening. Redistricting will be happening next year during the legislative session. And if the legislature can't decide and can't agree on a plan, our current law that is that the Secretary of State draws that plan.
Okay.
And so having someone like Kim, who is experienced legislator and who is pro-life and stands for many values that we share, just would be absolutely essential. And she's an incredible candidate. We're very proud of Kim. And I just wanted to, I was thinking as we were talking about this, I spent 20 years as political director of Bringing Right to Life before I became executive director. I'm very passionate about this.
That's all right.
But sometimes you look at your primary ballot and you're like, well, I don't have a lot of choices and there's just all these candidates. It's okay. These are habits. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have habits that it seems like, these healthy habits that we need to have in our life.
Yes.
Voting pro-life is a healthy habit.
Yes, it is.
So mark your ballot, get it in early. I didn't used to advocate for that, but it's really important to drop your ballot off or to mail. Don't mail it past tomorrow.
Right.
Because the mail sometimes will go very slow, but it is important to actually get it in early. For our vote by mail, it's an advantage, but just mark that ballot and make sure that you voted. It's okay to leave things blank if you don't know,
right.
If you don't know people, but vote for the ones that you can. So here in Marion County, we have a really important election for county commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Brentano, who's been there for forever, who's a wonderful pro-life county commissioner, is retiring. And we have an amazing pro-life candidate in Danielle Bethel, who is energetic and focused and just honestly one of the most impressive people I've worked with. And so we're very excited to have her running. And she will have a very intense race in November.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another one that would be worth your time. And I'm not talking about investing your whole summer, but if you and your family even can decide, okay, we're gonna spend a couple hours a month helping a pro-life candidate,
mm-hmm.
It would make a gigantic difference.
Yes.
if we all did that. It's the little things piled up that really make a difference.
Right.
And we do have, there are a couple of Salem City Council races that we've gotten involved in. And some people say, well, why does it matter? They're not going to be voting to overturn Roe v. Wade at the city council level. But I think I would say that this COVID-19 crisis has shown us how important it is to have competent, principled people who are in decision-making positions.
Exactly.
And city council is a key area where they're making many decisions that impact our lives. And while they may not impact whether or not abortion or assisted suicide will remain legal, they can make some pretty important decisions about funding or other priorities and resources where they're going. And having a pro-life ethic that values the individual, that sacredness of human life does make an impact on us. So we also think that it's important, like you were talking about, shared values.
Mm-hmm.
That's an important way to determine who you're going to vote for. So Brad Nanke, who's been a longtime city councilor and just an all-around great guy, is running for re-election. And then Reed Sund, who's sort of a new person on the block, who's just been really impressive in how hard he's been working, and I think will make a great city councilor. I don't live in Salem, but it's it's still key. And then we have some really incredible pro-life legislators that represent this area. Denise Bowles, Raquel Moore Green, are two that come to mind. You can see that I tend to talk about women, and it's not because I prefer women over men, but I just really think there's such a strength and a value to pro-life women who step up into these leadership positions. They just really have a unique vision and a unique voice that is very important in the halls of power.
Yes.
They need to understand and hear people's perspective. There are a couple of primaries where there are a lot of people that have put their hat in the ring.
Right.
Just south of us in Linn County. Well, I guess it's east and south of us.
Southeast.
In House District 17. And this is one of those amazing areas where we have multiple wonderful pro-life candidates. Mm-hmm. And so we don't always do this, but when we have so many really qualified, good candidates, we'll do multiple endorsements.
Sure.
And I want to use that as an example. A lot of people will say, well, you shouldn't be a one-issue voter. You shouldn't just vote on one issue. And frequently that's leveled at pro-life voters. I don't see it leveled at others. But
right.
But I call it a disqualifying issue.
That's
or
right.
a qualifying issue.
Exactly.
So you look at somebody as, are they pro-life? That qualifies them
to go to the next
level. And in a situation like this where you have multiple candidates, you say, okay, these are the pro-life ones. Now I can ask questions about other issues care about.
You hit it perfectly for me. You just describe me to a T. Are you pro-life or not? Okay, then we can continue the conversation. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We'll be back after this. It's okay to cut loose. Oh, it ain't about how you move, but what moves you. We're so consumed with what we think we're supposed to be that we stop living like we know that we are free. Good morning. Good morning to you on this Monday. It's 7:50. It's not going to be quite as warm today as it was over the weekend. That's okay. Showers expected. We need those showers. In fact, looking at some of the news, it sounds like I'm kind of in a drought, which is weird for me because I think there's been quite a bit of rain since I've moved here anyway, but I have not lived here for the last 30 years. So I welcome the freshness of a shower that we might experience today. And we're so glad you're tuning in today. We're talking about politics and campaigns and, you know, how do we make those decisions about the best candidates? And again, I will continue to hit this drum that it's so important to find the ones that line up with your values. And we were talking right before the break that for me and for many and those of us that are standing for life, it should be, are you for life? Will you stand for life? Are you pro-life? And from there, we can go on to the rest of the questions in life. And we've kind of gone through this voter guide. Lois, you've done a great job. You and your team and your committees have done a great job in regards to putting the information right there at our hands. So it saves a lot of time for individual voters to look at who the candidates are and what we need to do. We know that you've pre-screened them. You said that you've done not only surveys, but you've also done meetings, if not face-to-face, by Zoom. So there's good questions that have been asked to get your endorsement. It's a process. It's not just like, oh, we're going to pick out of a hat who we think the best person is. No, you truly are going through this process, and it takes a year or so to do so. That's one of the values that Oregon Life brings to the table. They bring the resource of the Voters Guide. They work with the legislators up in the Capitol, where they're working on looking at every piece of legislation and how it affects life, right? That's what you do, your strategic process. What other things is Oregon Right to Life? I know you talk about working with students and kids, and you hold, you did the rally in January, and then you had almost like a little convention in February. What else do you have coming up?
Well, you talked about students. I mean, we work very closely with the Students for Life of America, who has some wonderful student clubs in Oregon. But we have a contest that we run. The local areas will have these contests, and then the local winners compete at the state level. So the contests are essay and drawing and oratory. And we also have added a computer drawing division recently, and then we have a short film contest. So it's a great opportunity for students K through 12 to express their pro-life values in a creative way, and to just get that those impressions, you know, and those thought process. You have to think about what you're going to draw and what you're going to say. And I haven't judged recently, but I used to, and it's really powerful how these students can really express their pro-life values in a creative way. And we do have prizes and trophies, all kinds of fun things to encourage people to get involved. If you are a homeschool parent, or if your children attend a Christian school or even a public school, you can get your students involved in this contest. We have a whole page on our website that explains it and shows some of our winners, including last year, our oratory contestant won the national competition.
Wow. That's incredible. Yeah. So you have these students have an opportunity to express themselves and why life is so valuable. And what I love about this, of course, we hear this about the pro-life generation. You hear about the Students for Life on the campuses, peer-to-peer education going on. And I think there's some power in that when you're hearing your peers and you're learning how to, in a sense, which sounds so silly, that we have to defend life, that we would have to come up with talking points and know how to, why we believe what we believe, right, kind of thing. But the kids are teaching the adults, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
They really are. They're standing strong and they're showing us. And I think of tools that we already have in society, like Horton Hears a Who, you know, different things like that. Media is a powerful thing. Even Abby Johnson. Mm-hmm. Abby Johnson used to be a former Planned Parenthood director out of Texas who had an epiphany when she was asked to assist an abortionist in the room, where she was just the director, but she was asked to come in and hold the probe on the tummy of the woman who was having the abortion. And she saw the baby try to escape the procedure. Okay. And she had an epiphany, like, oh, this isn't a blob of tissue. Oh my goodness. And out of that, she walked away into a place of the safe place, right, of pro-life leaders that had been praying around her clinic. Mm-hmm. And it's an amazing story. She's written a book, and now there's a movie. And that movie is a powerful movie. If any of our listeners have not had a chance to look up the movie Unplanned, it is a powerful story.
It's on Amazon Prime right now.
Is it? Okay. It's a story of redemption, a story of grace, and certainly will get you revved up to know why it's important to stand for life. In my favorite, one of my favorite scenes, I don't know if you've caught this at all, when they're tearing down the Planned Parenthood sign, the guy in the, do you know who the guy is in the tractor?
Oh, yeah, the pillow, the My Pillow guy.
My Pillow, Mike Lindell is in the tractor. I'm like, hey, wait a minute. I had not caught that before, and so it's a powerful thing. So yes, it's important that we engage our students and allow them the opportunity, because they are the pro-life generation. They are the ones that are going to see this reversed, right? And they're helping and bringing healing and all of those things. So you have that coming up in August. You have that'll be next year when you do the next season of the contest.
Right,
in August you have something with students coming up.
Yeah, the contest, the local contest, will start even in the fall and in the winter. But we have a pro-life student leadership retreat called Launch, Igniting a Generation of Pro-Life Leaders. And it's usually during spring break, but we rescheduled it for August. I think it's the 10th through the 13th. And we did already have a class of students that we had who had applied and we'd accepted. But we will probably have some spots for that. We'll be communicating about how many slots we'll have open. And we are just praying that we will be able to still hold that. We should be able to, in the facility that we're in, we can properly socially distance. But it's a 4-day, 3-night retreat where students come and get an intense training, everything from embryology and the scientific basis for life to how to care for people that may be targeted for assisted suicide to we'll have to modify a little bit of the schedule with the current crisis that we're in, but we visit pregnancy center, we go to the Capitol.
Good.
We just try to give interested pro-life students sort of that next level of training. And one of the wonderful things that comes out of that program, we've been doing it for 21 years now, which is really weird to think about, but one of the wonderful things that's come out of that is the relationships.
Yes.
So you gather pro-life students, and it's age 16 to 21 from all over the state and sometimes Southwest Washington. And maybe they're the only pro-life kid that they know.
Right.
And they build these relationships, which then we try to get them engaged and involved with Students for Life and get involved on their campuses. So it's a great program. It's called Launch. And again, you can find out all the information on our website.
And your website again is?
ORTL.org.
And to become a member of Oregon Right to Life, it's $5.
$5.
All right. We need to get involved. Go to the website, get engaged, get involved, and vote pro-life. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Thank you, Lois, for being here today.
Thank you, Stacey.
All right. Have a great day, my friends. Remember, over, under, around, or through, we're going to overcome whatever obstacles in the way today. Have a great day.